When was the last time that you're just so excited that you just can't hide it? You know the song. Just so excited, can't hide it. That's right. When was the last time that you were like that? You know, for me, for whatever reason, I have recently become obsessed with In-N-Out Burger. I know. I don't know why, but I just really have been obsessed with it. In fact, did you guys know that there is a secret menu that In-N-Out has? That's right. And my obsession, since you're wondering, is the Flying Dutchman. You can get with whole grilled onions, chopped chilies on top. It's absolutely amazing. I'm so excited, I just can't hide it. In fact, this year, In-N-Out must have known this about me because In-N-Out decided to build one right by my house. That's right. And so here I am, I have become an evangelist for In-N-Out Burger. That's right, I'm talking with my neighbors. The Lord has shown great favor to Peoria, Arizona. A new In-N-Out Burger has opened, proclaiming the good news to the hungry and to the poor. It is funny, isn't it, that we just have no problem talking about the most random things, about In-N-Out Burger with people who we know at dinner parties, people who we don't know that well. We post things on social media, the most random things. Maybe it's not burgers for you. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's movies. Maybe it is restaurants or TV shows or concerts. You get so excited, you just can't hide it when someone is coming to town. That's right. My daughter is obsessed. Benson Boone is coming to town in September. Anyone else excited? No? Okay. Any Benson Boone fans, any Boonies in the crowd today? No? Okay. So the question is, does God even really care about some of these things? Does he care about the latest TV show, how the draft for the NFL? Does he really care about In-N-Out Burger? Actually, yes, I do believe that he does. The Lord has blessed that dining establishment. But the good news that he really wants us to know and to share is not the good news of someone coming to Glendale in September or a new restaurant opening. The good news that he wants us to share with people when we're talking, when we're posting on social media, is of course the good news of Jesus. Absolutely, right? I mean, after all, they say it's the greatest message ever told, right? That is the most important thing, and that's what God wants people to know. So right before Jesus ascends into heaven, we read this in the book of Matthew. And so if you're taking notes, they're there in your insert. Also, if you're online, then we have notes that are available online that you can download and fill out here. But here's what it says at the end of Matthew. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" See, notice a few things. If you have the notes, highlight, circle these words here. Circle go. You know, there is a temptation just to wait for people to come to us, right? That we say, well, you know, I just have to wait for the right opportunity. I just have to wait for them to come to me. If they come to me, then yeah, I'll share my faith, but I'm just going to wait for that moment. I'm going to wait for them to do something. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says, no, you are the ones to be proactive. You are the ones who are sent. You are to go. Notice also it says, making disciples, baptizing them. You know, this is transformation here. After all, it is whenever people encounter Jesus that they are changed. And so, to make disciples, to baptize them. Teaching. So this one is huge. This means to actually, at times, to open your mouth and share your faith. I know, sometimes we hear this phrase and we get caught up with it. You've heard it before that, well, I will preach the gospel always and when necessary, use words. It's a well-meaning statement. I understand where people come from when they say it, but often what people mean when they say it is, I'm just going to be nice to people, but I'm never actually going to share my faith. I'm never actually going to open my mouth and tell them about Jesus. And so what they'll know is they'll know that I'm a really nice person, but they'll know nothing about Jesus. Oftentimes that's what it means. And Jesus concludes here with this promise that I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, the disciples, they fulfilled this great commission. After all, they were so excited that they couldn't hide it. Maybe they're the ones who originally wrote that song. Maybe it's been around for 2,000 years, because the book of Acts is simply that. It is the disciples going out. It is telling others about Jesus, making the gospel known to the whole world. And so what did they do? Why did they do this? Well, your first point here on your notes is the disciples believed that the good news was actually good news. And you'll say, but Mike, there's a typo on the slide because it's a duplicate. It's not a duplicate. This is super important. The disciples actually believed in this stuff. They actually believed that the good news was not just simply news, but it was good news. Because after all, without Jesus, we're condemned to hell. But with Jesus, we can experience eternal life. And that's not just okay news. That is good news. That's great news. Literally, that's what the word gospel means, that it is good news. This may sound obvious, but in our culture and Christians, we're no different. That we often downplay the saving power that comes from Jesus. After all, we'll say things like, well, you know, whatever works for you, man, like you do you, and if you have this type of spirituality and it makes you feel good, if it connects you with God, then like, who am I to say anything? Who am I to judge? If it makes you happy, it can't be all that bad. How many songs am I going to quote today, right? But we have that mentality. We call it tolerance. We call it coexist. There's a whole brand around it. You've seen the bumper stickers, Madonna, Bono, Oprah. They all promote this, right? That there's many ways to this God, and who knows, you're on this side of the mountain, I'm on this side, and we all kind of end up at the same destination. But for anyone who says that, ultimately what it says is you're saying that you don't really believe in the saving power of Jesus. You don't really believe that there's anything unique about Jesus, that he's just simply one of many. And there's many ways to God, and Jesus just happens to be one of them. But no, if you actually believe that Jesus was special, that there's something exclusive, something different about Jesus that only he can offer, then we wouldn't have that belief. We wouldn't downplay the uniqueness, the saving power of Jesus. Now, here's the thing, that many people actually get mad at God for this. Can you believe it? That they'll actually shake their fist and curse God and say, God, it is arrogant, it is bigoted to believe that there is only one way to heaven. How dare anyone actually believe that? God, how dare you only providing one way? If you're drowning, someone throws you a lifesaver, are you mad? I mean, really, are you mad that there's only one way to be saved? You're mad at the person who went out of his way to save you? Or are you just simply grateful? Are you just simply thankful? Thank you for saving me, rather than get mad. In fact, it's not arrogant to believe that Jesus is the only way. It is arrogant, however, to curse God and say, God, how dare you only give us one way? Rejoice that there is a way. And what people are really saying is that if you don't really believe that it's real, then the good news is actually not that good of news. Because if you really did believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell, then eternity is on the line. And this, by the way, would change how we do parenting, wouldn't it? It absolutely would. In fact, one of the phrases that I hear parents say sometimes is they'll say, well, you know, I don't want to force my kids to go to church. You know, I just simply want them to choose. And what people would really say when they say that is they don't really believe that it's real. They don't really believe that the good news is actually good news. Because here's the thing, if you actually believe that there is a heaven, there is a hell, then why would you introduce an option? Like it's a valid option. Like this is a great option, kids, that can separate them from God for all of eternity. Why would anyone do that? If you're gonna give your kids a treat and you're gonna say, kids, come over here, we have ice cream. Also, we have a gallon of poison. Why would you introduce the gallon of poison? Because they don't trust, that's right. It is one thing if people later reject God in their life, but why go out of your way to make that a valid option? See, if you really believe that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, then as a parent, would you not do anything and everything in your power to pass down the faith and teach them about Jesus? Would you not use every Sunday morning to bring them here so that way they can meet Sunday school teachers who care about them, who love them and they love Jesus, they want your kids to know about Jesus, where they can make Christian friends, they can experience the gospel here, even if it's a little hot outside? Now at home, would you not spend every waking hour trying to pass down the faith, modeling it, so that way your kids grow up knowing right from wrong, knowing that God truly loves them? So for anyone who says, well, I'm not gonna do the number one thing that God has called me to do as a parent, to pass down the faith, then what you're really saying is that God's not really real, or at least he's not real enough to me that I want my kids to have a relationship with him. And by the way, all the statistics, they back this up, of course. They show that whenever parents advocate this role, of course their kids don't come out choosing to be strong Christians. No, of course. They come out growing up doubting their faith. And why wouldn't they? It's simply what was modeled to them. And so we've actually made it easy for you guys. And this is exciting. So all summer long, we're actually matching what we're doing here on Sunday mornings with what is happening in Sunday school. That's why we have this new series that we're starting today, The Valley's Best Sundays, the 12 stories that changed the world. Our hope is that because they line up, and now granted, there's a rotation that the kids go through, and so every single week it may not line up exactly, but they will. Everything that's here is going to also happen with your kids. We hope that the two go together where as you guys are on your summer road trip and you're looking for something to talk about, that you talk about what you learned, both here in church and then also in Sunday school. Whenever you're laying around the pool, whenever you're going out to lunch after church at, I don't know, a great dining establishment such as In-N-Out Burger, all right, that you use that opportunity to talk to your kids about Jesus. Talk about what you learned here. And parents, use this opportunity. And also parents, I encourage you guys, go first. It really is something, not just interview your kids, right? But you go first. Here's what I got out of today. What'd you get out of today? All right, so let's go back to the disciples. Now, the disciples, they definitely believed in the good news of Jesus. And they wanted others to know it too. In fact, there was a big festival that was happening 50 days after Passover called Pentecost. And people would come from all over the world for this. So they would often come for Passover. 50 days later, they'd stick around. So there's people from all over the world who are here. And Peter, actually, he does something remarkable. He actually stands up and he actually gives a sermon. He actually boldly proclaims the gospel to others. See, what's remarkable about this is that if you recall, 50 days was not that long ago. And for Peter, 50 days prior to this moment, where was he? He was hanging out around the campfire denying Jesus. When people asked him, hey, aren't you his disciple? He would say, no, it's another guy. He looks like me, but I'm not the guy. And just within 50 short days here, that he's able to boldly stand up. I mean, this is making a scene, really, where he's going to actually present the gospel to all the people. So here's what it says in Acts 2, and this is on your notes here. It says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what is his calling here? His calling is to repent, be baptized. And then also notice that in doing so, you get to experience forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And really, I will say this must not have been easy for Peter to do. After all, to call thousands of people, I mean, public speaking is a nervous thing for a lot of people. For Peter to stand up and publicly proclaim this, and not just give a soft feel-good message, but a message of repentance. Guys, we got to come back to God for this. That, I imagine, would be a pretty difficult thing. Which leads us to our second point here. The disciples took risks. They took risks. See, the disciples were willing to preach even whenever it's not socially acceptable. In fact, there were times that they would be kicked out or they would be arrested for just simply for sharing their faith, that there were actual real world physical consequences that happened to them, and they were okay with it. They're willing to take these risks. In fact, if we look here in Acts 4, which is right after Acts 2, flip a couple pages, and here's what it says. It says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed." Isn't that great? Like, they're annoyed at the disciples for teaching. "Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." You see, here's the thing. All of the disciples, they all faced persecution. I mean, they were arrested, they were beaten, they were laughed at, and they were even put to death. I mean, did you know that? That all of the disciples, except for John, and we'll get to him in a second here, but all of the disciples were not only willing to die for Jesus, but they did. They actually were martyred. They actually experienced the death penalty because they stood up for their faith. John, he got off easy. He wasn't executed for his faith. Instead, he just simply spent many years in prison and simply had hot oil poured over him. So he got off easy. But why would they go through this? Well, because, back to our first point, they really believed that the good news was really good news. And they wanted other people to know it too. They wanted other people to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, today we can also take many risks also. Now, the good news is for many of us here in this room or online that we can experience pushback. We can experience consequences for sharing our faith. Maybe not necessarily being arrested or being executed for our faith, but there can be real things that happen. Because after all, whenever you're sharing something difficult, sharing a truth with a friend can be at times very difficult. You might lose followers on social media. You might lose actual friendships. You might get sued. You might lose your job. Now, here's the thing. Most of the time, this doesn't really happen. In fact, most of the time, this is a scenario that we play out in our mind. In fact, this is often fear that prevents us from sharing our faith. We think that, well, geez, if ever I were to invite someone to church, that they're just going to be so mad at me. And most of the time, that's not usually the case, but it can. I mean, just, it can. It happened to the disciples, and it can happen to us today where there can be backlash for sharing our faith. And we can experience difficulties for doing the right things. But here's the thing, the disciples, they were willing. They were willing to take risks because they had a different perspective. Their perspective was eternal. Their perspective was heavenly perspective, which means that if heaven is the goal, they're willing to take the risk. And because God can use it, God can use them. And so let's take a look here at this last point here, which is simply that they saw God save thousands. That's right. So God used the disciples in powerful ways. See, at Pentecost, Peter, he could have said nothing, right? I mean, he could have, or maybe he could have said a couple things to a couple people, but to actually stand in front of thousands of people, well, that's making a scene, and who wants to do that? And so Peter very well could have just backed out and just said nothing, but he chose to do it. He chose to stand up, he chose to open his mouth, and God used him. Here, let's take a look at these two verses here from Acts 2. And so this is all immediate. This is all what happens in Acts 2 whenever he presents the gospel. It says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Imagine that. Imagine speaking to so many people, and after you're done speaking, 3,000 people now have faith in Jesus. What an incredible moment. I wish I could be a fly on the wall and experience that, don't you? And then if you flip the page here, in the Bible, not in your notes here, but if you were to flip the page in Acts 2, you go to Acts 4, it says this, it says, "Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men which means there are more, came to about 5,000. So within just moments here, or days or weeks, that all of a sudden we have thousands upon thousands of people coming to faith because Peter chose to open his mouth. You know, I will say that I am looking forward to getting to heaven and to talk to these people. I mean, I would love to get to know some of these people who were part of that first 3,000 and just ask them what it was like to be there at Pentecost. And I'm sure that they're thankful that Peter took the risk. Of course they're thankful that Peter took the risk because, after all, God used it in a powerful way. I also look forward to thanking all the people who worked hard to pass down the faith to me. You know, it wasn't just one person. No, there were multiple people in my life. I mean, I think about it, it's crazy that, you know, my grandparents, for example, that not only did they teach me about Jesus, but they taught my parents, who taught me about Jesus, right? And then as a result, now I get to pass down the faith and teach my kids. So I'm thankful for my grandparents, that they didn't abandon God, but rather they stuck to it, they passed it down. I'm thankful for my Sunday school teachers. God bless them, okay? My brother and I, we gave our Sunday school teachers a run for their money. But they showed up every week. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the youth leaders that I had in high school. And because they spoke into me and they passed on the faith and they showed up, I'm thankful for them. And my hope as well is that in my short time here on earth, that one day that I'll be in heaven and I'll be talking to people that God used me in a powerful way for them, that I will get to hang out and have these conversations and remember our time on earth here. And my hope as well for you is that there will be someone that you'll be with in heaven that you've made an impact on and that God has used you. And so really, spend this week thinking about that, thinking about who are those people? Who are those people that God has placed in your life? And you know, there are many people that God has placed in your life. We can start with family members. We can start with people that we work with. We can talk about the people that live around us, that we are in club soccer with or whatever. Social media, there's people that have thousands of friends, I don't know what you call those people, followers, I guess, on social media, right? That we all have this sphere of influence. And be thinking about who are those people that don't yet know Jesus, but could benefit from being here, that could benefit from a community like this, that could benefit from actually knowing their Creator, having a relationship with God. You may be saying, but how do we do that? I'm gonna close with, this is on your notes, and they're also on the slides here. A few quick, easy steps to share your faith. First of all, tell your friend that you're a Christian. Now, you could do this in a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be, hey, my name is Mike and I'm a Christian. It doesn't have to be that. But if you think about it, there are many ways that you can let people know around you that you believe in Jesus. Seth was talking earlier about how he's got a new cross necklace and he says that it's a conversation starter. And that's how he described it because it's something that, well, he can talk to people with. In fact, I love wearing Christian t-shirts just because of that. It is a conversation starter. There's many times that I'll be wearing our Hope shirt and I'll be in wherever and people will come up to me and we'll have a conversation about it. In fact, that is why for this lesson for our kids that they're getting these cool tie-dye shirts. And tie-dye shirts are cool because, well, it's summer and you get to wear a cool tie-dye shirt, but they also have a cross on them. It's a conversation starter. Or as you're talking with friends, you know, one of the things you can just kind of drop in every now and again is you can say, you know, at church on Sunday, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, don't say the blah, blah, blah part. But if you were to say, hey, at church on Sunday, what are you telling your friend? You said 1,000 words in a few, okay? That you're telling them that number one, that you're a Christian. The number two, that you actually go to church. I mean, that's a big deal. A lot of people say they're Christians. They don't go to church. So you're saying, I am a Christian, I go to church, which means that you take this stuff seriously. There's many different ways of sharing your faith. Social media, post some things every now and again. There are other things than cat videos. that you can share, all right? Invite your friends to church. So this is another one that is super easy. One of the things that we do here often, at least once a month, but often almost every week it seems, that we have some reason to not only be here, but also to invite a friend to. So all of July, we're gonna be having snow cones here. Why? Because it's too hot not to have snow cones. Also, because it's a great thing to invite a friend to say, you know what, come to church with me, we're having snow cones. And for some people, that's all it takes, is just that little extra thing just to get them here. And by the way, whenever it comes to inviting a friend to church, I should say, I've never had anyone mad at me for inviting to church, never. We sometimes create these scenarios in our heads that I was talking about earlier, where we say, well, geez, if I were to invite a friend, they're gonna be so mad at me and they're never gonna talk to me again. Never had that happen to me, okay? You can simply say, hey, we're doing snow cones on Sunday, you should come. They might say no, they might say yes, but they might say no, but I've never had anyone blow up at me. Now, here's the next one here. Tell your friend why you're a Christian. So not just that you are a Christian, but why. And this one's a really important one. This is like the next level. This is the deeper conversations here. Don't start off a friendship this way, but this comes up. These are opportunities that come up really often, especially with tragedy. So whenever someone's going through something difficult, that they're in a mode where they're seeking help. They're seeking God. They're seeking a divine intervention, if you will. And at that point is when they're most open to hearing about Jesus. And so they might even just ask that, like, you know, you seem like a reasonable person. How is it that you could possibly believe in a God? And what would you say? So these are important things. Tell your story is the next one here. Tell your friend how you became a Christian. How is it that you became a Christian? Even if you've grown up in the church all your life, why is it that you still keep coming? Because after all, many people have used to come to church and they don't come anymore. So why is it that you still come to church? And this last one here is ask your friend if he or she would like to become a Christian. Those are a little bit of the deeper conversations, but it's inviting them into the gospel, inviting them to experience the good news. And so with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time this morning that we can gather on this Memorial Day weekend where we can remember all those who have gone before us and have sacrificed for this country, but also, Lord, we pray that this can be a time where we can really begin to think about all those in our life who you've placed who do not yet know you. We pray that we can be instruments of your message, of your gospel, that we can proclaim that boldly to others, that we can pass down the faith to our kids, all of those who are in our sphere of influence, Lord. We pray that you bring them to faith and that you use us in powerful ways. And all this we pray, amen.